slight chance that my child is about to be featured on.
Yeah, we're joined by Jude this week, and he's right now he's chilling. Yep. Dobby, don't wake him up.
Yeah, we changed locations.
Yeah, we did. We did change locations for spring break. I have quite a story for you.
I've been hearing about it, but I don't know what it is.
When this story was told to me, I got so excited. I wanted to text you immediately and tell you about it. But I also immediately after that, I was like, oh, I got to save it for the show. Okay, this comes on the heels of the University of Kentucky losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
To the Peacocks of St. Peter's.
St. Pete.
Yeah, like I saw some image.
This is a biblical show, so.
Yeah. I saw some image of like St. Peter's, the gym that they play their games in. And it was like,
I was just trying to think of like how they came up with peacocks. Like if your name was St. Peter, like, wouldn't you be like the ear loppers or like,
oh my,
I don't know.
The ear loppers. Can you imagine that logo? it's tough because, you know, it's like last year they had the worst season they've ever had. And then this year, arguably the worst tournament loss they've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah. In any case, I'm talking about this with my good buddy, our friend of the show, Austin Witt, Dr. Austin Witt. And I visited him where he's doing his residency.
Not to be confused with Austin White, friend of Kentucky.
Yeah. Friend of Kentucky, which is tough. I mean, the Peacocks really did a number on them and him.
It really lopped their ears.
St. Pete. In any case, I'm talking to Austin Witt about this and then he says this, you know, we're just kind of talking about the fact that, so what does Austin do now? Like is he going to cheer for University of Tennessee? They made it to round two, you know? And yeah, they took care of business, sadly. You know? And, and Austin Witt, friend of Austin White and ours, says, well, you know, I mean, it's Austin White's wife cheers for UT. She dresses their child in the proper orange and white checkerboard of UT. And so it's just right there. It's, you know, and then he said, and then he drops this on me. He said, did you know that I was the DJ for Austin and Liz's wedding? And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I was the DJ for their reception.
Oh no.
And I was like, no, I didn't know this. And he was like, oh man, well, I've got quite a story for you, because he said, you know, they had a playlist for me and I'm going through, and you know, they said, look, if keep the people dancing, if it looks like it's going to die, switch to a different song, you know, kind of a Lauren Roberts style, nothing but bangers type of situation. And he said, I'm going through the reception and it comes time to cut the groom's cake. The groom's cake, all Austin asked for was that the groom's cake be decorated to honor the University of Kentucky Wildcats. So, you know, white iced cake with a big blue UK in the center of the cake. But he left Liz in charge of like this whole thing. All he said was just make sure that it's we got the UK logo on it. So she did. The groom's cake had the UK logo on it. But when he cut into the cake,
oh gosh,
and pulled a piece of it out, the cake itself was orange.
Oh no. Haven't ever heard this. That's amazing. Liz from the top rope.
Just from the top rope. Like,
oh, that's unbelievable. I can't. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Hey, happy wedding day.
To get that owned by your new bride on your wedding day in front of everybody you love.
Oh.
Just like you cut, you're like, oh, look at this cake honoring my team. You cut into it, and Big Brother is staring you in the face orange sponge.
What the? Oh man! Somewhere, like Mary Berry was just like, this is a proper cake.
Oh,
this is
my
proper.
Gosh. I hope the photographer got that moment. Just that look on his face.
I've never seen this. I've never heard that, and now the whole world knows.
I mean, clearly the whole world listens to this podcast.
I think we're well represented amongst other nationalities.
Certainly.
Well, I don't know that, though. We don't really know the statistics. There could be four people that listen.
Only Ian knows.
Yeah, only Ian.
Yeah, we know Matthew Rees listens. I doubt Austin will listen after this.
We have a Texan. Yes. Oh my word, that is unbelievable.
To be clear though, that's on Liz, that's not on us.
No, like, that's this, fantastic.
This, yeah.
But he needed to be reminded. And Liz needed airtime for that, because that's amazing.
Liz, that's one of the greatest trolls I've ever heard of.
Oh, that's
I have to hand it to Liz.
Gosh.
Oh, Liz White from the top rope. Just
that's amazing.
Incredible.
Dee Dee just
owning a dude on his wedding day.
Hey man. He probably deserved it.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast where we like to celebrate all great trolls.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a scripture you want to take us to?
Sure, let's
thanks
go
for that fun little that little
that's amazing. Down memory lane. I was so glad that you told me that. That makes me so happy. Man. Can you imagine? It's Thursday morning. Austin is driving to work right now. Not only was he just reminded that his team lost to the Ear Lancers of St. Peter's University. A school the size of, you know, Oak Ridge High School.
I was going to say, it's like they play basketball in a shoebox.
Yeah, I think there's 2,500 students at St. Peter's.
Wow, that's tough.
So, yeah. And then...
And like a 15 seed.
Right. Right. Like, you know, Tennessee lost. We'll just put that out there. They should have beat...
The University of Michigan.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. I mean, they're a higher seed. But like, at least it was like Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know, 7-footer just.
Yeah, just dominated just the whole game.
It was a nightmare matchup for Tennessee. It's fine. Not to make excuses. Tennessee should be playing this coming weekend.
Certainly.
It's fine. Whatever.
Certainly.
Yeah. But if you're someone out there who listens to the show and is calling for Rick Barnes' job, you can unsubscribe.
I'll give it to him, T.
Please stop. Because. Anyways, this is not a basketball podcast, nor a football podcast.
Nor a wedding cake podcast.
But it sometimes is an Austin White trolling podcast.
I like the qualifier sometimes.
Sometimes. If you're ever listening to our show and you're like, why do they talk about Kentucky sports so much? It's not because we're Kentucky fans.
No, who would be?
Gosh.
Okay, let's go to the Holy Scriptures.
Philippians 2.
Let's do that thing.
The Pauline letter to the people of Philippi.
Nice.
I'm gonna look at this and we're gonna see what happens when I read it. But I think I'm gonna start in verse 3.
Carry on.
And then just read on for a minute and see what happens. I feel like I'm speaking as if I'm on an NPR show right now a little bit.
Yeah, you've got a little early morning
Barry White,
like the you're moving slowly.
Yeah,
slow and low.
I think in the back of my mind, my child is taking a nap 10 feet away. He's usually unaffected by people speaking.
Right, you're just waiting for the fireworks to begin.
I'm just waiting, and if at any point I drop the mic for 12 seconds, it's because I have to hustle to put a pacifier in his mouth. Look at this starling coming in to take my bird seed.
Oh, there he goes. Oh no, Thomas is running out to his back porch to startle a starling. I haven't seen you move that fast in so long. He just
so selfish.
He just
they take so much seed.
Just leave some bird feed for the common house finch.
They don't even eat it. They just rustle around in it.
Like Scrooge McDuck.
Anyways.
Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3.
That was literally 4 minutes ago. I looked at my phone. It was 9:40 and you said, do you want to take us to the scriptures?
Carry on.
Now we're starting. Okay. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the very name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's like a pretty, I think it's a pretty well represented and known passage of scripture right there. I think the, like, I've probably said this a lot on here, but the math that takes place in the Bible a lot of times sounds funky to us. And yeah.
The economic reasoning.
Yeah, all of it. But this is one that, culturally speaking, where we live in the world, and just in the world, the idea that, like, making yourself lower, thinking of yourself less, and putting other people ahead of you is something that is exaltable. Dobby, please, yeah,
and
they, stop.
And to that point, the thing that's lauded is, like, to get as much as you can for yourself.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, make sure that this contract has, like, one extra year and 12 right. more million dollars in it.
Yeah, so...
Sorry.
It's fine. It was low-hanging fruit. Yeah, but, like, this... the wording on this, the start of this, is extremely bold. Like, Paul is saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's pretty clear. It's pretty bold. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then, like, the next step to me is just so bold, and it's really clear. There, like, there's, in these first three verses, there's not really anything that you could mix up or get wrong. And I always love that in scripture. Like, there's plenty of times where Christians, or, like, non-believers especially, or whoever, will take the scriptures and twist them in a way that is like,
sure,
hey, this is kind of gray, so I'm going to make it sound this way.
Uh-huh.
Or even sometimes it's like, no, this is crystal clear, but I'm going to make it sound this way. But this right here, it's like, okay, how do I, like, how could I twist this in any other way than what Paul is saying? It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And, like, the whole thing that it goes on to display after that is talking about how he just, like, he made himself nothing. He put others yeah. above himself. His whole thing here was to come down here to lay down his life for us people who are sinners, when he wasn't. Like, that is the entirety
right.
of it. And Paul is saying, like, hey, in your relationships, that's what you, like, you need to have that mindset.
Yeah.
Others above yourself, period. Like, you're not looking out for yourself everywhere you go. You're not defending yourself. You're not taking advantage of yourself. You're not thinking of yourself. You're not, just, like, all the things. The whole thing is to put others ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
And in fact, like, that is, like you want to be better, you want to be greater, awesome, go for it. That is how you do it.
Yeah.
It's not by looking out for yourself. It's not by protecting yourself. It's not by thinking of yourself above everyone else. It's about saying, like, hey, I'm going to put everyone else before me.
Hmm. Yeah. The not taking advantage of your privileges and rights is such an interesting, that's such an interesting piece of this. Sure. That, like, Jesus had the right to, because he was and is Almighty God, the Son.
Mm-hmm.
He had the right to demand that just everybody, like, serve him and bow down to him. And in fact, all of creation, just right. like everywhere he goes, like, everybody's throwing a party for him. But he didn't. He just like spent his time and his energy and his compassion and his words on everybody else,
right.
you know? And the thing about this that I've been thinking about recently, just in my own, things I've been thinking about and working on, is just the idea that it's not just that Jesus was giving us an example to follow. Like, hey, I'm going to show you how relationships work best. If you, you know, your relationships will be better if everybody is less selfish, which is true. And so I'm going to show you what that looks like lived out. And that's true. He was giving us an example to follow, but, like, not that anybody's ever followed it. But there's this other element to this that has been really interesting to me lately, which is just Jesus is the smartest person ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the most joyful person.
Yeah.
And so whatever he does is whatever would be the wisest course of action to lead to joy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like when you look at, you know, the greatest golfer in the world, it's like they practice the way they do and they hit the ball the way they do because they know what it takes to be successful. Mm-hmm. The best, you know, whatever, the best guitar player in the world, the best pianist in the world, like the best singer in the world, they know what it takes to get the result that they want out of their craft. And Jesus has like this overflowing joy. He's like the most joyful person ever. And it's like, you want to know how to be happy? Watch him.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't just an example to follow because it'll make your relationships better. Mm-hmm. It's, you're looking at the smartest person in the history of the world. And it's like, he's humbling himself because he knows, dude, this is it. This is how to be happy. And this is how to have good friendships. And this is how to have awesome relationships. And by the way, it's how you get exalted later on.
Right. I think if every human in the world was honest, like, you know, if you ask people like, okay, what is it you think the world is looking for? People would say money, power,
right,
fame, fortune. And like, but I think if you like cut the fat off, the answer behind that is happiness.
Yes.
Like that's what those things equal.
That's what people think they will get from those things.
Right. But if we're honest, like we all want happiness, and it's exactly what you're saying. It's like, why would we look anywhere else than what Jesus is saying?
Right.
Because, and in fact, like there's whole passages of scripture where he is saying, do you want to be happy? This is what you do.
Yeah. And
it's so funny, like, that we sidestep, take shortcuts, and do completely the opposite. And we're like, wait, why are we not happy? Or I feel terrible, or whatever the thing is, you know, like, and there are shortcuts laid out to us, and there are direct routes laid out to us to the thing we're looking for.
And it's not what you assume it's going to be naturally. I assume like, if I have a day off, then I want to just pack that with whatever I would want the most. And it's like, it always ends up being a little dissatisfying. But if you have a day where you just do for somebody else the whole day, it's like, it winds up, those wind up being like extremely memorable and fun and like hilariously sweet days.
Yeah.
It's like when, the last time I was making like some like sugar cookies that I wanted to ice in a very, like I wanted to decorate them in a very specific way. And every time I try to do it, like the thing that occurred to me always fails. Like I always tried to make piping bags out of Ziploc bags and it just always fails. Mm. I talked to my sister, who's a very good baker, and she was like, yeah, that's not going to be the way to do it. Here's what I always do. And she taught me this method. And then it was like, oh my gosh, that's so much easier, so much better. The cookies turned out like just degrees of magnitude better than anything I'd ever done before. And it's like, oh, well, if you want a certain result, find an expert and ask them or watch them and ask, why did they do it that way? Oh, because they already know this is the best result. And it's like, who's the expert of all experts on relationships, on happiness, on fulfillment? It's like, just watch him.
Well, yeah, fill in the blank there though. Like,
right.
Maybe you're content with the happiness level you're at, but maybe it's like peace or whatever. Like, I mean, just, you could fill in any of those words, like love, compassion, affection, safety, whatever. Just throw in words there. You want to figure out how to do it? We have a whole handbook for it.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not coming from a place of, look at me, I'm awesome at this. It's just, I don't need to say this every week, but
it's just such a great reminder though.
Yeah. And also I just read that this week. You know, yesterday. So I was like, oh, this is fresh in my mind.
Well, I mean, I would go farther to say like, all right, I think the thing that's happening in my mind right now is like, I want to look for the next opportunity to experiment with this, to surrender my own rights or selfishness to the end of somebody else getting what they want above me getting what I want.
Yeah.
It literally, like, there's a word in the original language from the verses you read that, it's like, it's a word that, it's the same place we get the word taxonomy, and it's just like a list, and it's like, put yourself lower down on the list, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so let's find a place to experiment with that this week.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
I do too. Jude's still chilling.
He's still chilling. Our dog, still however, sleeping. Is not.
It's like she's competing.
Look at how she's laying right now.
She's competing with Yoshi for like,
Yoshi doesn't do this.
But like, she does...
Yoshi quietly sneaks up to us and asks us to pet her. Dobby is like, you see how much noise I can make.
Okay, I want to read something from Acts chapter 4. But before I do it, I want to ask you a question and just like, and I want us to brainstorm like, what's the natural thought? And the question is, when you take like you take a group of believers, if the grace of Jesus is powerfully at work in a group of believers, what do you think the result would be for that group of people? Like you think about grace, what is grace? And like, okay, so if grace is powerfully at work, what's the result?
That's a great question. And I mean, I think like,
don't feel pressurized here. There's no it's not like a, it's, well, okay, I don't mean to be so a trick question.
The first thing the thing that pops in my head is just like a relief, I think, because it takes away, when I think of grace, it takes away the feeling of being in trouble.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's
like,
an awesome one.
Which is, that's a heavy thing to carry around.
Yeah.
And it's hard to shake when you feel that way. When you feel like you're in trouble for something, it's hard to shake it.
Yes.
Like, for me, it's always here. Everything else comes
after
that. For me,
it's in my stomach. It's like, yeah. It's like a discomfort in my stomach.
Yeah, like, I can't, and I'm someone who, like, there's people out there who've never seen me, but, like, whatever I'm feeling, it's pretty obvious, and I can't shake it.
It's like, written on his face,
right? And it's not because I'm like, I want everybody to know. It's just the way I'm built, and I don't know how to shake that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I'm sure there have been plenty of times where I have, and I'm not giving myself enough credit. But to the people who really know me, they know that about me. And anyway, so like that, my first thought to your question is like, that feeling is gone.
Yeah.
So I feel lighter.
Yeah.
And like the way I described that, I realized I did it with a hand motion and I can see it, but I basically like put my hand over my eyes and like, yeah, I can see through it, through my finger slots. But the first thing you see is, your hand. So like when I feel like I'm in trouble, everything is through that lens.
Yeah.
And I can't, there's just,
it's tough to get through your finger slots.
Yeah. It's tough to get through your finger slots.
See, and that was really cool. Like if I was to ask the question to myself, it's like, I think I would assume like, oh, well, if the grace of Jesus is powerfully at work in a group of believers, I would assume the result would be just like sweetness in that community.
Yeah.
Just a lot of sweetness, like not fighting, but like a lot of sweetness. I think both of those things are true.
Yeah. And a lot of, I mean, yeah. Also, like the more we talk about it, you asked the question, you want to answer, but like, I think the idea of people having an abundance of goodwill towards one another is a great thing.
Assuming the
best, like not being on edge, not being tense, not assuming that somebody, you know, said a thing or did a thing because of a thing. Just right. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, I'm gonna believe that you had a good intentions, well-intentioned. Okay. So those were all really cool things. And I think if the grace of Jesus is powerfully at work in a group of believers, I think those things will be present. But there's a thing that happens in Acts chapter 4 that Luke writes here that just surprised me. And maybe it shouldn't, but I thought it was really cool. Okay.
This is
Acts 4, yeah. At the bottom of the end of Acts 4. So this is right after the Holy Spirit like descends upon the group of believers in probably John Mark's mother's house in Jerusalem in the upper room. Like in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It's like, wow, cool. This is a landmark moment in the history of believers in Jesus. Okay, check this out. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then he mentions specifically a guy named Barnabas who does this. This, like, it shocked me. It was like, oh, a landmark of the grace of God being powerfully at work in a group of believers. You know what it equals? It equals everybody shares their possessions.
Yeah.
Everybody shares their money.
Right.
There's like super rich people give money so that super poor people have more.
Yeah.
Like they equalize. It's like a very, I hesitate to use the word because the word is so, I'm not even going to use it. But it's just like, it's like there are
utopia,
well, or like communism.
Communism.
You know, it's okay. I'm going to use it, but like it's a word that has been so maligned, sure. You know, by ill use, by systems that have called themselves communism, and but like the idea is everybody has enough.
Mm.
Nobody has too much, and nobody has too little.
Right.
And this is a landmark of this is. This is what it looks like when God's grace is powerfully at work in a community of believers is right. Like people share.
Mm.
That's the word. People
yeah.
share.
Yeah.
And it's like, we make sure that everybody has enough.
Mm.
And it's like, wait, so it's like it's money, like money and possessions. That's how you know. And it's like, yeah, that's yeah. part of it, which it goes back to like the word grace. The Greek word is where we get the word charity.
Mm.
It's about a gift.
Right.
It's about a gift being given. And so people give freely. It's like, Jesus has given me everything that I could right. never earn or hope to find on my own. Therefore, I'll give whatever. Do you need right. something? I'll give it.
Right.
If I have it, you can have it.
Yeah.
And that's like a symbol. And it's related to like the things that you were saying, that right. somebody would humble themselves and serve somebody
right.
else.
It's yeah.
like, this is how you can tell that the grace of God is powerfully at work in a group of people is... they don't consider their stuff their own,
mm-hmm.
period.
Right.
My life isn't my own. My stuff isn't my own. My money's not my own.
Right.
Do you need some? You can have it. Because everything I need was given to me for free.
Right.
So I will give everything I have to you if you need it.
Right.
And just the idea of that, like, so people are so wigged out by, you know, just because of our world, they're wigged out by, like, taxes and, like, not... like I'm not going to have enough of mine, you know, and I'm you know, what was mine has been taken away and everything. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, but the more the grace of God is active in a community, the less people care about that stuff.
Yeah.
If it's like, if we just take some of the things of our faith and just look at them for a second, just expose them. My life in this world is very short.
Mm-hmm.
I will be in heaven forever where I won't need money at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't like, possessions, money, all that stuff will have completely different conceptual bearings.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a gift there. Everything is love. Like, and that's where I'm going to live most of my eternal yeah, existence. Yeah. The point of this place is compassion and care and then trusting the Lord. I can't trust the Lord in heaven. I'll see his face.
Mm-hmm.
This is my only chance to trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that means like I get... exercises in trusting the Lord and then finding out his goodness by giving some of my stuff away so that my brother or sister can have something that they don't have. You know, I think about us right now in the time of a war, and it's just like people need. How do we know that God's grace is active? By giving to the needy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just in the way you finish that, it's like, okay, there was a thing in there. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were in them all that there were no needy persons among them. No, like,
no.
Yeah, there were no needy persons. And like,
this was a landmark of the first church.
Right. Right. That's exactly right.
They eliminated the poor.
They eliminated the poor.
Wow.
And okay, so like it's easy to look at that and to start pointing fingers, I think.
Sure.
It's easy to look at that and think like, man, what if the top 1%, which by the way, like we're not far off from that.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a smartphone and you're listening to this, you're probably in the top 1%.
Yeah, you're up there. I mean, like, and that's not yeah. a finger. Again, yeah. I'm not trying to,
no, that's
I'm trying to say it's easy for me to zoom out and say like,
but I need to start by pointing the finger at myself.
Exactly. So yeah. like, it's easy for me to zoom out and what's the guy who runs Amazon?
Bezos.
Yeah, it's like, come on, bro, just share a billion of it and end world hunger or whatever. You know, it's like,
count or 40 billion.
Yeah, just do,
yeah.
It's a not, tenth of it's what nothing. It's yes, a drop exactly. in the bucket to you. It doesn't right. matter. Like, it's easy for me to do that, but like,
sure.
This specifically is talking about a community of believers.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you're listening to this, you're probably a part of one in some way. So, I don't know. Like, and I just think my favorite people are this way. And it's not even because I get to share in their cool things. Like,
yeah,
that's part of it. But also it's just like, they're my favorite people to be around. People who care so little about this world, that care little about what they have. They are like, they attach their anchor to the things in this world that are, I think, more everlasting, and things that we're going to know more, even deeper, when we get to heaven. And like, the people who aren't that way, it's going to be harder to leave, because we just, we're not going to have it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know what a home's going to be like in heaven. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
the whole place is going to be home.
Yeah, exactly.
The heart like, of Jesus is your home.
There you go.
Well, and like, I think about other things too, like even not just like money and possessions, but like, I think about the fact that you and I live our entire lives on the charitable giving of the believers.
Yeah. There's a whole other thing to that.
Yeah. Which like we depend on the givingness of people that love Jesus. We literally feed our families on their gifts. Right. But also we also like I have been given cars by the believers, and like believers donated their time to make your bathroom and like, and to fix my crawl space and like to, and it's just like, there's so many things that like when it happens, it's just so obviously beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so obviously like, it's just so obviously the grace of God at work.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's like, before I read this, if you had just pop quizzed me, it's like, what does it look like when the grace of God is active? I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, it's this and that, the other thing. And it's like, oh, it means people don't call their possessions their own, and they make sure that there are no needy people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like
it's amazing.
Today's episode is brought to you by the illumination of the word mine.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
wow. My rights.
My rights.
My stuff.
My desire to be awesome. Which like that, we talked about that, and it's like, yeah, that's a good desire. You want to do it? Here you go. Like, this is what it looks like for that. And I just, our world would be so much more fun. It would just be fun. Wow. And it is. Like, I think of someone like Joe Penley, who like, the amount of things he has lent me thoughtlessly and just like trusted me with, and it's so silly, but it's like, hey, can I borrow a chainsaw? Yes. When do you need it back? It doesn't matter. Just get it to me whenever. Like, stuff like that. I'm like, man, you hold everything in your hands so loosely.
Yeah.
And it's just with the freedom of, this isn't mine anyway. And that's exactly what we're talking about. But like, and the happiest people I know. Yeah. I was given. Yeah. It's the happiest people I know are that way. When I'm my happiest, I'm that way.
Come on.
I don't... Hold on. Look at that devil bird right there. That bird belongs in Hades.
Gosh. Thomas just got...
Do you know what it does? That bird right there is going to lay its eggs in other birds' nests and make that other bird raise its children, which generally are bigger than other songbirds, end up kicking the babies out.
Wow.
That's a devil bird right there.
What's it actually called?
Brown-headed cowbird.
Oh, okay.
Look it up. If I weren't in the middle of recording this podcast, I would throw a baseball at it. And if I hit my feeder, I would buy another feeder. Sorry. I don't know. This whole thing was so cool.
Randy Johnson moment right there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to happen. Pow. Like, no, I love that you pointed that out, because I've had dreams of this.
Well, I couldn't, there's no way I could end it better than you did. Just that, like, if the world were like this, if everybody in the world were like this, the world would be more fun. Yeah. I did not know you were going to end the sentence that way. And it's one of the things I love about you, is that like your north on your compass is to fun. And I think that's so cool.
Why wouldn't it be? Like, what the heck? We only get to be here for a little while. It should be fun. It shouldn't be miserable. What are we doing if we're miserable all the time?
I love
when what a terrible place to be. We're going to be so happy for eternity. Let's practice it now, right? Like, let's get good at it.
Yeah.
Have fun. Do things that make you laugh. Do things that make you smile. Care less about things that take that away from you.
Yeah.
You know what takes that away from you? Money, possessions, wealth, power, all those things. Yes.
Yeah.
Those comparisons.
Selfishness.
The thieves of joy. We just listed them off. Yeah. Why not do things that make you happy?
Cowbirds.
Why not, those sons of guns? Maddie has a story about those birds, but like the things. Gosh, what if you woke up in the morning and you just thought, like, what, like, what do I need to do today? Like, what would make me happy? What would bring me joy? And what if you did it? They would look a lot more like serving Jesus and caring less and less about yourself
and giving stuff away.
And giving stuff away.
Today's episode has been brought to you by the starling and the brown-headed cowbird.
Starlings stink because they're just like
I love getting tea just on one.
Selfish. I like.
Well, there's one more bird that this episode has been brought to you by, and that is the peacock of St. Peter's.
The ear lancers of St. Peter's.
Guys, thanks for listening. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You're laughing like you mean it. It's been some time. And I'm glad I got to see it. And that smile you hide. Almost left your corner to jump right in. Now the moment's over, but you thought about it. I almost caught you slipping. You seem a little different. That person looks a lot like you. I know you'd rather witness these moments from a distance while everyone is missing you. Wish you could be here. You're dancing like you want to up on stage. Forget about tomorrow, just sing today. I almost caught you slipping. You seem a little different. That person looks a lot like you. And I know you'd rather witness these moments from a distance while everyone is missing. I hope that we remember we're more than what we thought. We're more than what we thought.